Oh, it is the Tecmo Bowl music, and you know what that means. It is Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papagiorgio, joined by the beautiful, the vivacious, the tragically sweating and Irish Brian Bolte.
Dicks out for Papa.
Oh, God, you and that damn hashtag. Brian, you have worked your magic again. We have an awesome guest who's going to join us for the duration of the show. If you want to do an intro, he is your guy. I don't want to take that glory from you. I'm going to put him on now. Get yapping, boy.
Mike, you on?
Yes.
Mike Melville. He is a Cleveland comedian. As you guys know, or might not know, I'm kind of an open mic hack. And
way to sell it.
Mike has been one of the people that I've kind of bended his ear through the year, a few months that I've been doing this, to ask him, you know, how does this work? What do I do? Hence why I wanted Mike to be on the show. Mike, how long have you been doing comedy?
About 15 years.
15 years. So you, in comedy terms, you're 5 years that 5 years you've been good.
The first... that's being very nice. I actually about 6 months I've been good. But I've really been focusing most of my time on hindering your career. So,
well, and I also told John, I was spoiled. I was in San Diego. Those crowds are super easy to please. Cleveland crowds, I could just imagine how difficult it is to make them laugh.
Yeah, I remember the first showcase I did at an improv here, and I was heckled by my aunt and my sister.
Nothing like being heckled by the family. That's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, especially since my aunt's sitting there drunk yelling things like, tell them about the time you shit the bed when you were 14. There's no recovering from that. I don't care how professional you are.
I was talking to John's co-host on his other show, Pete Maybe, about comedy. And one of the things I told him is what I do in my set. He says, well, what do I do in my sets? I said, well, you point at your dick and you yell cunt a lot. And that makes people laugh. So that tells you about how long I've been in comedy.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a lot of the open mics here, too. Except now, is your dick hanging out when you say that?
Well, if I'm going to make them laugh, I better pull my dick out.
Yeah, well, in Cleveland, that would like list you as a prop comic, and then you would just get no respect whatsoever. He's like Carrot Top with micro penis.
I was going to say, you calling me Carrot Top, sir?
All right, Mike, Browns are 0-2. I just want to get a read from you what the mood in the city is with, I think you're on your, is it your fifth starting quarterback in five games going back to last year? It's pretty fucking insane.
Yeah, we're shitting the bed, but you know the mood in Cleveland generally is just apathy. We really look forward to football Sundays for the tailgate party, and if happens to be a football game going at the same time, then so be it. But nobody expects anything out of this team anymore. I mean,
how's RG3 working out for you? Because we gave up RG3. The three stands for three first round draft picks that we gave up for you to pick him up off the street. And what did he do? Did he last, 30 minutes for you guys?
on field time, about half an hour. Right now, as far as I can tell, he's just going to be chauffeuring Josh Gordon around to paternity tests. we've pretty much given up because, I mean, this year we have a great coach and we have a shit staff. The last couple of years we've had good players and shit coaches. And so it's like a never-ending battle of how can we find a way to lose to another team?
Yeah, I kind of, because we're D.C. area, we tend to get Ravens games, and I was dipping in to the Ravens game knowing full well that the Skins were going to fuck me over in the last couple seconds, if not earlier. And so I wanted to watch someone, kind of do the winning thing, and the Ravens were actually getting smashed by the Browns early on, but, like, what the fuck happened? Was it, because I wasn't watching too closely, was it, like, McCown went down and they immediately, like, the tide turned or what?
They kind of murdered him early on. He was getting hit. I mean, even it seemed like TV timeouts, they'd come over and just knock him over, just to get him off his game. And it was brutal to watch. I mean, I was at the Indians game watching that, and, you know, I had the big screen right next to me, so I'm watching football, and I'm like, oh, it's 20-2, and we're winning. How the hell did that happen? Then 5 minutes later, it's like, hey, we're losing. And that's pretty much, that's Cleveland football in a nutshell. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Unless there's you're up by 17 with 12 seconds left, you're sitting there thinking, well, if the other team picks one off, runs it back, onside kick, it's completely feasible. We can lose this game, and we just have to find new ways to lose every week.
I'm glad Hugh to hear that Cleveland fans feel similar to us DC fans, because somehow we figure out how to lose every week as well.
You know, honestly, we could have a 0-0 tie if and when Cleveland plays Washington.
Yeah, I don't know if you really why should you? They're not a great team, and they're out of market, but the Redskins, it's been really, really frustrating the last couple of weeks. I know that who's their defensive coordinator? Is it Joe Barry?
Barry, yeah.
I think if you go to Joe Barry's Wikipedia, I'm not saying this as a joke, like it will say in the first three lines, like statistically, he is the worst defensive coordinator of all time. And like that's not like some shithead hacked it to say that. It just legit says that. Like this is Joe Barry's Christian name, his date of birth. He's the shittiest defensive coordinator.
Yeah. He went from the Chargers linebackers coach to our defensive coordinator.
I think
he was shitty when he was with the Chargers.
He was the coordinator for the Lions when they 0-16.
Yeah,
believe.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he is colossally bad. And for some reason, they skated last year on it. But this year, it is so painfully obvious that defense is just going to give it up. And there's a lot of like talk already. This is how quickly, you know, there's this whole vibe before that Scott McLuhan, the new GM, was building this winning culture the same way he did with the 49ers, the same way he did with the Seahawks. Two games in of them shitting the bed, and it's like Kirk fucking sucks. There's a schism in the locker room. It's fucking insanity, dude. I can't handle it.
Well, we signed Josh Norman.
Yes.
We've got Breland on the other side of the corner, so we have corners. All of a sudden, secondary, as far as the safeties, maybe not so much, but you have the tools there. Why can't this guy put his pieces together and make them do something with these players? I don't know. And I feel bad, you know, going back to the Cleveland, Coleman, your number one pick went down. RG3 went down. McCown went down. And for whatever reason, we have this Cleveland Washington every week. We end up talking about both of them. Washington stocks. They're 0-2. We have a quarterback who killed it in the red zone last year, then all of a sudden can't throw a touchdown pass in the red zone. He's picked off every time. There's a very close tie between Cleveland and Washington currently. We have talent, we have players, we just can't put it together.
We only have about a third of that. We have players. I won't say that we... I mean, there's a running joke that is pretty serious that there's two high school football teams in the city of Cleveland that we're pretty sure would be competitive, if not outright beat, the Browns. And that's St. Ignatius and Glenville. The Glenville Tarblooders is Ted Ginn's team. Ted Ginn Jr. played for his dad there. These guys would literally beat the Browns. Because they play as a team. And, I mean, you guys talk about defensive coordinators. We had, you know, our GM last year, Ray Farmer. Do you guys want to talk about mismanagement of a sports franchise? I mean, the guy had no concept of what he was doing. He, we picked up the wide receiver from Kansas City that never played a snap for $8 million a year.
Wow.
He was
Jesus
never put
Christ.
In a game.
Wow.
And now we've got, I mean, honestly, we have a coaching staff that I think could possibly be outcoached by Rick Moranis and Little Giants. It is just complete anarchy down there. Hugh Jackson was phenomenal in Cincinnati. Came here, no idea what's going on. No clock management. It's like Pat Shurmur all over again. It's like, no, we don't need to stop the clock. We'll stop it. You know, it'll stop at the 2-minute warning, even though we're only down by a field goal. So there's... You guys at least have potential, and you know what it's like to win. We haven't had a winning season in 6 years, I think.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think all of our winning seasons have been 9-7. I don't think we've crushed it in quite some time, but I know what you're saying. We're sitting pretty compared to where you guys are.
Mike, I remember the 80s. I remember the 80s back when the Skins were good. It's been a while. 9-7 is not a great season.
No. I'm basically here to make you guys feel better about your football game. 9-7. That took us 3 years to get 9 wins.
Hey, you had Johnny Football. At least he was interesting to talk about for a bit.
The only thing that improved with Johnny Football in town was the quality of the cocaine. That was really it.
Now, as a football guy who's got a shit team, like, what do you do to keep things interesting? Because I think I do a pretty regular thing. I key into other teams that are fascinating that year, or I'll follow like a player or two. I don't really do fantasy, but just like some guys who are having a good fucking season, I'll key in on that. Like, do you do any of that, or do you just say like Browns suck, the hell with this, and you actually live on Sunday?
I still watch the games. I mean, you get to a point where nothing bad can happen because you're already expecting the worst to happen. I get through most of the beginning. I mean, it's week 3 of the NFL, and I already know that it's 24 days till Detroit dropped the puck for the Red Wings. So that's how I'm getting through my weeks. I did follow when the Browns left in 95. Everybody had to find somebody else to follow. I followed Marty Schottenheimer to Kansas City, where I've had my heart broken repeatedly by them as well. So I really don't have very high standards for football, so I'll just sit on the couch and use that as an excuse to drink beer and eat chips all day.
Nothing but tears and chips, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad when you're a grown man and you hear your wife tell the kids, "Honey, don't go down there. Daddy's crying again."
No, it's. I'm impressed that you're actually smart enough to be jaded and not brokenhearted every time they lose. For some reason, last week with the Redskins, I full well knew they were going to like drop a completely winnable game to the Cowboys, and they did. And I mean, I was still just fucking livid for maybe 4 or 5 hours. Like, I wasn't really approachable till about 9 p.m. and I started being a civilized being again.
Back when I was younger, my chick knew to leave me alone on Sundays because the Skins would drop it every Sunday, and she knew I would be in a bad mood. And I was telling John, I put a couple bucks on the Skins this weekend because I thought they were gonna win.
You did, you dipshit. God damn, dude. I thought you were out of your little gambling fund. I thought you lost it all betting on Carolina for the season over.
I did lose quite a bit on Carolina, but I thought this was my, and I didn't tweet it out. I didn't put it out to anybody. I just said,
no, you're just a mush anyhow, though.
All right, Skins. They're at home. They're facing a rookie QB. They're gonna do it.
No.
And I laid 3 points, and I lost.
No, what I've seen of them, they could easily 4-12 this year. I'm not saying that to exaggerate. Their defense looks hapless.
Well, and that, and when you have your savior Kirk Cousins throwing interceptions left and right, yeah, we could go 4-12.
We'll trade you for Kirk Cousins. We'll take him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would. I don't think Kirk is the big problem here. Anyone that's jumping on his ass right now really isn't watching the games closely. Like, it blows my mind that Kirk is being addressed right now.
Well, you know, when you're throwing picks in the red zone, and it's not his fault. I think there was an article I read today that give Matt, when you and I have hit this several times, why didn't you sign Alfred Morris? If they re-signed him and had a two-headed monster in the backfield between Jones and Morris,
two-headed monster,
you could have a running game in the red zone, and they're scared to run the ball in the red zone.
I don't think he's even that effective, Morris, at least in their scheme anymore. But like,
I saw him take one up the middle 10 yards for a touchdown against us.
Yeah, but it wasn't through like any LaDainian Tomlinson like fucking feet of his own.
No, you're right. Well, they have such a great offensive line, he literally didn't get touched.
Yeah.
But I miss the guy. I loved Alf.
He was a heart and soul team type thing.
And Matt Jones, they're afraid to give him the ball because he tends to cough it up. And his 3 yards a carry isn't going to do it.
Mike, before we let you go, any words of wisdom on what you are trying to do with the rest of the season? Like, what would, in your mind, make the Browns season worth it?
They just need to start Charlie Winterhurst now. We've got clipboard Jesus now.
So you're not...
You guys know we picked him up?
I did not.
I did, actually. I think you and I talked about it. He's the clipboard king of football.
Oh, yeah. I know the name.
And
yeah, he still rocks the Lorenzo Lamas look from the late 80s, early 90s.
The Renegade.
Yes. Yeah, he's got the whole thing going. Yeah, we picked him up because evidently putting Terrell Pryor under center isn't feasible, even though he was a phenomenal Big Ten quarterback. No, let's not ruin that. He could be a good receiver someday, but he'll never have anybody who can throw him the ball.
He's your number one wide receiver now because Coleman's out for what, 4 to 6 weeks? So
yeah,
Pryor's the man now.
And then Gordon's back week five.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe.
Maybe, because what's going on with this paternity test? I just keep seeing that stuff pop up on the...
Yeah, he evidently back in July, he started getting served subpoenas to submit a DNA sample for a paternity test, and he just kept ignoring it. And it finally leaked out to the media that he's got a bench warrant out for his arrest because he won't get a DNA test to tell if the baby's his or not.
He pulled out. It wasn't him.
And he made her jump up and down afterward. That's
exactly.
That shakes
exactly.
It all out.
Exactly. There's no way it could be his.
Douche with some coke, you know? That's the Cleveland way.
Well, Mike, thank you so much, man. Is there any way all the listeners can find you, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that?
I have absolutely nothing to offer anyone, but if anyone wants to look for something fun, check out the Accidental Comedy Festival. Their website is phenomenal. It's a bunch of local and national touring people that come to Cleveland. It's run by Ramon Rivas, who just, you know, a guy that's been doing comedy for like 5 years that just did his first Comedy Central special 3 weeks ago. And
awesome.
He's just absolutely blowing up.
Mike, I'm trying to get John to get into stand-up with me as well. When we start doing that, we'll definitely come to Cleveland and maybe we'll do a show together.
Outstanding. Sounds like a blast. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, brother.
My
Thank
pleasure,
you so much.
Mike. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
All righty, that was Mike Melville. He was being a little bashful about the social media shit, but I do think he is a Facebook guy, you had said previously, right?
I believe so, yeah.
All right.
He's not a real Twitter. He said he did a Twitter for a show he did. So, anyway, if you're ever in Cleveland, look him up.
Yes, if you're after you take your second shower upon arriving in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't go to Cleveland on purpose.
I don't know. Cleveland's one of those cities I think I would actually like. It seems like a hopeless shithole. The people aren't going to be pretty. Like, it's not New York where the cost of living is high. The women are beautiful. Like, I feel I could go to Cleveland and, like, get a dollar beer, eat some poutine for a couple bucks, and then, like, you know, fuck a nice solid four and a half in the back of an Aerostar before the evening's through.
You could eat some nice poutine in Cleveland. Yeah, a 4.5 in Cleveland's high, dude. So you and I would be...
Yeah.
We'd be solid nines in Cleveland.
I would have crushed for the night, bagging me that 4.5. So after doing the Skins and the Browns, let's just run through the rest of the league and
okay.
Then go back to the Skins at least, because I feel we didn't get to do everything I wanted to do with that. There's a lot of shit happening in the league already. It's so overanalyzed. 2 weeks in, we already have narratives that we want to act like have been permanent, you know, like day one fixtures. For me, from the outside, one of the most fascinating things I've seen actually is the complete implosion of the Bills.
Oh, jeez.
There was a time where I think in the rest of the NFL, we kind of bought into Rex Ryan. Like those first 2 years when... We're stupid as a people, as a species. We're very results oriented. So those first 2 years, I believe, two AFC championship losses, right?
Yep.
So we're like, you know, Sanchez, maybe he doesn't look that good on paper, but fuck it, he's a game winner.
Yep.
And same with Rex. Like, you can say he's a blowhard, but I'll be goddamned, he pulled it off. Like, coach is starting, you know, new coach, AFC championship twice. That's how what we call a foundation. He's going to build. And he's been a fucking laughingstock since.
Well, he brought his brother in, didn't he?
This year he might have. I think you're right.
And their defense is just like when his brother was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Horrible.
He was historically bad in New Orleans. Like, bad to the point the Redskins should, once they axe Joe Barry, to continue our ways, bring in Bob Ryan, right?
Yes. Pretty much, yeah. And it's amazing because we talk about pieces and talent. They've got a running back. They've got a talented quarterback. They've got the number one wide receiver, Watkins, talented. Their defense, they re-signed their O-line. They got everyone there. The pieces are there, but all of a sudden they don't have a D at fence at all that shows up.
Yeah, and Rex is supposed to be this defensive master. What's so fucking weird, 2 years ago, when I think they went like, shit, was it like 9-7 and they missed, or was it 8-8 and they missed?
I think it was 9-7.
9-7 and they missed the playoffs. I forgot who was their coach for that 1 year, and then he fucked off thinking he was going to get a coaching gig elsewhere as like some defensive master. I can't remember the dude's name. Yeah. But like, I think Jim Schwartz was actually the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And he got all the heat because their defense was stifling. And then they bring in Rex Ryan. I believe Ryan either lets Schwartz go or Schwartz leaves of his own accord. And he can't coach the defense for shit. And what was like a very dominant unit with a pretty crappy offense. I think Fitzpatrick was the quarterback for him back then.
Yep. Yep.
Now they've kind of got like a slightly better offense, but the defense is just porous.
And it's amazing that I think that's why they didn't care about a defensive coordinator, because Rex Ryan was supposed to be this mastermind. He was supposed to be able to, you know, whoever he brought in, he would be more defensive focused, and obviously he's not, because their defense can't stop anything.
Don't you always lose your fucking mind when a coach is brought in who's supposed to be like an offensive guru or a defensive guru, and the other side of the ball is what excels? Like Tony Dungy is my prime example. Tony Dungy comes to the Colts, and he is this defensive guy, and the Colts for his entire tenure are just Peyton's offense. That's it. Now, I'm not saying a lot of the money wasn't siphoned off by that offense, but like that defense ate shit for the most part.
Well, same thing with the Bills. Think about, they had, what was it, Mario Williams? Is that?
Yeah, he's gone this year.
I know, but they couldn't figure out a role for a defensive stud. How do you not figure out a role for a guy? Okay, go get the quarterback. That's all you got to tell the guy.
I'm not big on paying anyone that kind of money.
Shit. Go get a guy. Go let him go do what he does. He goes after the quarterback.
Instead of putting him in some scheme or something.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we'll have you go cover the tight end, even though you're just a huge meathead that needs to go run after the quarterback.
Yeah.
Let him go after the quarterback.
That's it. That's all you bought yourself a 40 mil junkyard dog, whatever the fuck he was.
Exactly.
I don't know what the contract was. Something insane. Like dumb teams like that and the Dolphins, where they pay, in essence, like just below top tier quarterback money to a fucking defender. And you're like, what? I'm sorry. Like, what team have you seen do this? Are we really trying to emulate when the Packers got Reggie White?
Yeah.
In like 94, 95, like that shit's in the past. That shit's 2 decades in the past. Reggie White's dead as fuck. So is that strategy.
Exactly. My buddy's one of my good friends is from Miami, and he's a Dolphins fan. And when they signed Sue, he's like, Super Bowl, we're going to win. I'm like,
why? Fuck would put that together?
Okay, so you got a lineman. What is he going to do? He's going to put points up how?
Yeah.
He's going to stuff the run, and he did nothing.
you're gonna get shit from him. I'm sorry, it's very obvious. You spread money around in football. If any one asshole, even like really short of a starting quarterback, but I'm sorry, even if you're spending that much on your starting quarterback, you're going to have problems.
Yeah,
but you need to spread that shit around. Like, you can't have these little role players and then be like, oh, the cornerback we're paying in fucking circus peanuts got burned for that game winning no fucking shit he did.
Yeah, exactly.
You got some asshole off the scrap heap, like a goddamn rebuilt Autobot, and you're like, oh my god, he gave it up to the Decepticons. Yes, that's literally what he's going to do every episode of this stupid show.
We've got a $20 million corner on one side and undrafted free agent on the other
side.
Yeah, well, that's going to work great.
Yeah, who
maybe
will they ever go
two
after?
Decent people. Yeah, it's infuriating.
You got some of the teams, I would say, unexpectedly, or maybe not so unexpectedly, at 2-0. Giants, for me, unexpectedly under, is it McAdoo, their new guy?
Yeah.
Fucking dumb McAdoo. Sounds like a detective dog cartoon.
Sounds like a cookie, a McAdoo.
Yeah,
like
exactly. We all gathered around and beat off onto the McAdoo, and the last one to come had to eat it.
Oh. I ate it either way.
Yeah, exactly. I hate playing that game with you because you always just sit there limp and don't even touch it. And I'm like, come on, man, try.
Hurry up, guys.
Yeah.
Well, that's for another story for another show.
Giants 2-0, looking like out of nowhere they could win the East, except, oh my God, the other rookie coach of the Eagles, forget who the fuck that is.
Jesus.
They're 2-0 as well. Smashed, and I mean smashed the shit out of the Bears Monday night. A hapless, worthless team, I might add. I feel very sorry for Chicago. Chicago, to me, is one of those teams that evokes feelings of the Redskins. They're never going to, like, really, really just implode. So there's never going to be, like, a full flush of the toilet.
And they don't even like their quarterback.
And they fucking hate Cutler, and they should. He's a mush.
But, Pork, I'm sorry. I'd much rather have him as a starting QB. What's their backup? Anyway.
That I do not know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that tells you right there.
I know some backups in this league. I do not know the Bears.
The Bears, and now you've
got... Oh, it's Bart Starr. They got him.
And you got Jeffrey now, all of a sudden, once again. Oh, I'm hurt. I don't know if I can play next week. I'm hurt again. So now you've got, just like the Browns, you've got their quarterback out, and you got their number one wide receiver out.
I don't get some of the personnel shit. I don't get the retread coach. Like, fucking John Fox, how do you watch that Super Bowl where, look, I like football. I think 10 minutes into that goddamn Super Bowl, I was asking my friend, like, what he had on his Xbox so we could play that shit and not, like, have a waste of a night. Like, I haven't seen a fucking like that, like, since a Bear, like, some fucking The Revenant thing. You know what I, like...
That was, yeah, it was tough to watch.
That was the worst goddamn Super Bowl I have seen in 15 years. It was the worst since the Raiders and the Bucks. And you know how that was so one-sided? Goddamn... When Chucky left the Raiders, they just kept the same calls. And so he was able to tell the Bucks every call the Raiders was going to be. Like, yeah. That's how fucking odd the situation has to be to produce that shitty a Super Bowl. And John Fox was not formerly, you know, the coach, or I'm sorry, Pete Carroll was not formerly the Broncos coach. They somehow achieved that result without that being the case.
It's amazing.
And how do you do that? And his conservative play calling that everyone motherfucks every year. They're like, this pussy goes in at halftime, like 2 yards out, and just takes a knee, doesn't even do a field goal. You know, maybe I'm being hyperbolic there, but the guy sucks shit. No one looks at John Fox and they're like, yes, he is the one to lead. He looks like a dude who should be like on a Thai sex trip.
No one fears him.
No.
And, you know, people, as much as I hate the Patriots, you think about Belichick and how he just attacks the entire time and goes and goes and goes. And he'll beat you by 40 points. Fox, like you said, he's got, we're up by 3.
Fox looks like the fucking grandpa who brings his laptop into Geek Squad and they find kid porn on it. That's what John Fox looks like. Belichick, yeah, it looks like some weird mastermind who it's like, oh, how did you beat, let's just say, Jay Gruden. And he'd be like, well, I had someone break into Jay Gruden's home, and I tasted his urine, and I tasted the weakness in his urine, and I knew that he was going to do such and such with his plays. Like, fucking Belichick is so ahead of the curve. That's why it blows my mind that people are, like, genuinely shocked that the Pats are 2-0.
They have a third-string rookie quarterback starting.
It doesn't fucking matter.
They are a plus. They are laying a point this week.
Who are they? So they're home or no? Are they on the road even?
I think they're on the road.
Jesus Christ.
They are laying a point. That tells you a little something about the Pats. You can literally, their backup quarterback is Julian Edelman right now.
Yeah, him.
Out of Kent State, a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's their number one wideout, and he's their backup quarterback. It's the same with the Browns this week with Terrell Pryor. He's their number two quarterback and their number one wideout. It doesn't matter, and that's why I can't wait for 5 or 6 years from now, whenever Brady's done, and like he spent all his jizz inside Giselle. That wasn't supposed to be funny, but it
Giselle.
Worked. I want him to be thrown away like a fucking old tampon smeared on the mirror if we're in a, you know, middle school bathroom. And I want them to get the next kid, whoever the fuck it is, because they'll probably take Garoppolo and trade him for like 2 firsts. To some
Probably.
Piece of shit team.
Well, with him getting hurt, I think that's really...
Okay, I'm sorry. They'll get a first and a second.
Yeah.
And I want them to take whoever the fuck he finds and turn him into what looks like a Hall of Famer, and he's got his face buried in the ass of the next Brazilian supermodel, and I want people to go back and tell me with a straight face that Tom Brady is some like Hall of Fame legend. I really am praying for Tom Brady to get cut before he's completely spent. Like, I want, like, a Joe Montana thing where he's got 2 to 3 years on another team, except I don't want any of the Joe Montana success because Joe Montana, guess what, did shit on his own. I want him to go to another team and be exposed as just a fucking product of everything Belichick does.
And we've proven that time and time. Matt Castle, whatever quarterback goes in there. And by the way, it's the Pats are playing.
It doesn't matter.
The Pats are playing tonight against the Texans.
I could take the fucking Pats to 5-11, okay? And I say that with a straight face.
But
I could line up behind center and get them a couple wins.
I think you could.
That's how good that fucking weirdo creep is.
He really is. He's as much as I hate the Patriots, he is a mastermind.
They suck. There is nothing better than, because they're in the playoffs every goddamn year, there is nothing better than seeing when they lose in the playoffs. Like, to me, that is like a woman every week 17 is saying, I'm late. And every fucking time they lose, it's like getting a call and hearing, oh, guess what? Like, I just had the biggest, bloodiest period right now. You are so off the hook.
There was nothing better than the Giants beating them twice in the Super Bowl. And
that was amazing.
And I'm a Skins fan. I should not like the Giants.
I was forced to make the same call.
I rooted for the Giants, and when they won, I was dicks out for the Giants.
I goddamn hate the Patriots, and yet there have been multiple Super Bowls. I'm sorry, this is completely proving my I wanted the Giants to win, despite being an NFC East guy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I did. Here it is. Yeah, I did pull for the Patriots over the Seahawks.
Did
like,
you?
Like, I was livid. Yeah, I was so sore still about what they did to the Skins.
I'm with you.
And not just that. Like, Wilson was, what, a third-round pick? Yeah.
Third. Yeah, he just came out of third round.
Yeah, and the same year, they gave up, what, 3 firsts and the second for RG3. And so I was just like, little piece of freebie shit.
Yep. Well, it tells you that.
And the way those two teams have gone, although the Seahawks look like shit from what I gather this year. Like, I've heard, I haven't watched a ton of them. Wilson looks fucked up, and their offensive line is catching up with them. They did their yearly lose to the Rams bit.
They have no O-line. 9-3 against the Rams. Come on, guys. You have maybe put a couple bucks towards an offensive lineman. They have no O-line. They have 2 hurt running backs. I'm sorry, Wilson is talented, but he's not going to win it every week. I know their defense is good. They held the Rams to 9 points. But when your offense puts 3 points on the damn board, you're not going to win.
I revel in their misery.
P.S. Fuck this.
Because I feel those were two teams kind of in the same realm, the Skins and the Seahawks. And the Seahawks, for some reason, don't get credit for having bounced the Skins 3 playoff appearances in a row.
Why do you have to hurt me so, John?
Dude, they are like the...
Why do you have to hurt me so?
Yeah, they are the last boss for us. Because we certainly haven't gotten past them. So
we have not.
Game does seem to end there. What the fuck else is interesting? Texans at 2-0 is okay. I haven't gotten to watch to see if that dude they acquired from Denver... Who the fuck did they get?
Brock Osweiler. I don't have a boner for him.
He's better than the shit they had, though, because that wasn't that always the thinking? The defense was so good. Just get someone that isn't completely mediocre.
He'll be the Alex Smith of the team. They can win with him.
I think they're fine with that, yeah.
They can win with him. He'll be a game manager. He won't tear it up, but they can. But they're playing the Patriots tonight, so they're going to lose.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Maybe not third-string quarterback, but I think they're going to lose tonight. They're getting ready to start in 45 minutes.
We're so done.
Hint. Watch the clock. And the thing I've got a huge erection for is Skins.
Children?
Well, no.
Okay.
Shh. Is Chris Hansen here?
Yeah. There goes your Santa gig.
Giants Skins this weekend.
Oh, you have an erection for that. You like humiliation. I have abject terror in my heart for that. I don't want to fucking see that shit.
ODB and Norman, what do you think?
Oh, here's what I think. ODB is going to get probably 2 touchdowns.
You think?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Don't tell me that. Because the thing that scares me, I think they will spend too much time on ODB. And Cruz is there, and they got that rookie Shepard, who's pretty decent. I think those guys will be the ones that light us up. I think they will shut down ODB. I'm going to put my money on that.
Okay, you're right. They will maybe shut down Beckham, and they will definitely lose by 1,000 other little paper cuts elsewhere.
Okay, let's put this. I got $10.
Ten? Oh, sure. What the fuck?
Giants. I've got the skins. We'll do a pick 'em. No points.
Okay, yeah. I can. Oh, God, they're at Giants? Why do you want to give me your money?
Because I love to throw my money away, okay, and this for once I won't have to do it online.
You know what? I'll take your miserable $10.
And we can discuss it. I'll tell you what. And by $10, I mean 100, of course. I've got the skins winning that game. Cousins is going to come back. Cousins is going to throw 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Matt Jones is going to score a touchdown.
Wow.
And final score, 31-14.
Oh, man. They're going to lose something like 27-10. They're going to lose in that realm. It's not going to be close. And
Don't hurt me.
I think we might be to the point we don't even know if Gruden survives the season.
You think? I think Gruden's there for the season. They got to the playoffs. They can turn it around still. Of course, I'm a little bit too much of a fanboy, but they have the tools there. They can do it.
I like your optimism. And they don't just because Joe Barry is the defensive coordinator. If I told you that you had Kit, the car from Knight Rider, and you were up against, like, I don't know, some poor Italian man had his daughter abducted by the mob, and you're like, well, I do have Kit. Kit's on my side. Who's driving Kit? And then I told you it was like the simple boy from Life Goes On. You'd be like, ah, shit. I don't care how fucking great Kit is. We got Chris whatever the fuck, the guy with Down syndrome, Corky.
Dicks out for Corky.
Yeah. We've got Corky in the David Hasselhoff leather jacket behind the wheel. You'd be like, fuck, just was there any last word you wanted to say to your daughter? Like, she can hear it in heaven. Because she's dead. That's how I feel. Like, you can give Joe Barry any amount of weapons. It won't matter. He's fucking garbage.
Despite Joe Barry, the Skins are going to step up this weekend.
Have fun
and
with that.
Win.
I cannot wait to take your money.
I'll bring it in pennies.
Oh, you son of a bitch. The last thought before we really quickly get to the games next weekend. Not that we really need to run through that. A couple. Yeah. Did you realize that... Adrian Peterson, out for a year, I believe, with a knee injury he
torn meniscus
incurred, yeah, over at the opening of their new stadium, the Vikes' new stadium.
Yep.
Did you realize there's a chance neither he or Bridgewater play for the Vikings again?
Ever again.
How fucking weird is that?
That is...
Because they gave up, like, a first and a fourth, or and it can go up
all
to
I know
first
is
and a second for Bradford or some shit?
First, and I'm not... This second, I'm not sure it's completely up to what he plays, but yeah, they're basically...
They gave up a lot for Bradford, and if Bradford plays really well, let's not act like Bridgewater was ever so mind-blowing that you'd be like, hey, we, you know, this guy definitely gets it back.
You don't open up a new stadium when you drop that much money with... some kid that
exactly they're like
clipboard.
Fuck
they,
it we're
they had to do it
yeah
they
we're exchanging some it. Draft picks to make sure there's asses in the seats here.
Now that all being said, you're absolutely right, you might not ever see AP and Bridgewater back in Minnesota.
Oh, AP's cap hit next year is not good for
he's
a
gone.
Goddamn 32-year-old running back.
Everything that I've been scrolling through and reading the last few days is that he's played his last snap for Minnesota.
I hadn't seen that in too many places. I saw one little article regarding it, and I was like, that is sad.
I read 3 of them today.
Okay.
Just before here, and it was...
I'm not so special, though.
But yeah, that all being said, you hit the nail on the head. Teddy and AP, you might be gone, guys. And is it such a bad... If you give up a first-round draft pick, you better bring him back. They're going to have to play him. And I don't know what are they going to do with Teddy. Are they going to trade him? Are they going to draft? Are they going to cut him?
I think he's still under one of those shitty rookie contracts. They can trade him.
Okay.
Like, you're going to wade into the year with, like, maybe 4 mil against the cap.
With the need of quarterbacks, they might be able to recoup maybe a second-rounder for him. Maybe... is my thought.
I think so. I think if they really were like, he's got to go, like if he's making some scene and he isn't cool with riding the bench,
no,
which he probably wouldn't be, I guess.
No, he it's his team and he wants to play, and he was a first round draft pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, but not like a you know,
Not for top 10.
Exactly. He's like maybe 18th or some dog shit like that.
Well, they might recoup a pick out of him, but I think you're going to see Sammy Boy as their new QB.
It'd be fascinating. Let me look it up real fast. You know what? I can't find it that fast, and I don't give a shit to find it. He was, I believe, a late first rounder. Like some other piece of shit who's stinking up the NFC North right now. What's his name? Oh, Aaron Rodgers. people are freaking the fuck out about him, too. I don't get that so much. That I really don't understand. Wait the whole year.
Yeah.
That guy's carried, I'm sorry, a woefully understaffed team for the better part of a decade now. And everyone's like, why doesn't Rodgers look like Rodgers? Oh, I'm sorry. The fucking paucity, there's your word of the day. The complete lack of talent around him has finally caught up to it.
The guy has made mediocre wide receivers look like lights out.
Yeah.
Lights out. Cobb is not, I'm sorry, I'll put this other. Cobb is not that good.
Yeah, we're
He's supposed... made Cobb look good. He's made Jordy Nelson look like good. He doesn't have an O-line. They do not spend their picks on O-linemen. The guy is just talented. And he's made people around him look good.
Yeah. So I guess the most fascinating games next week, then, we're going to have Lions at Packers, 49ers at Seahawks. I guess we give a shit about that. Broncos at Bengals, actually.
Broncos-Bengals will be an interesting game because what are you thinking about the Broncos' new rookie quarterback? Do they even? It's like kind of like you said, I could put you in with their defense and they win.
Yeah. I don't really. I obviously watched them start the season. I watched a little of the 4 p.m. game last week against the Colts, where the defense was just damn good.
I heard someone say that he's 7th round pick. The Broncos guy looked better than Peyton Manning last year.
Peyton Manning was so fucking feeble last year. You can say all you want about the leadership. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, it wasn't worth it. Like a competent offensive force. In that Super Bowl, how long did it look like they were going to lose because he couldn't put shit on the board and the defense was just that insane anytime they were on the field?
And it was. And thank goodness I put a couple bucks on that game and won.
Oh, so I'm going to be getting 10 from that then. I'm down with that.
No, I lost that on the Carolina game.
Oh, okay.
I reinvested double up.
Well, Brian, anything you wanted to add, sir? Or
follow me on Twitter at ChokeOnRitalin. And once again, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, anytime. And I am John Papagiorgio. It is pfpod.com, the show's website for the Papa's Football Podcast. You want me on Twitter? It is at Papa's Basement. You also have facebook.com/Papa's Basement. And I guess that's it for shit to plug. But yeah, find the show on iTunes, find it on Stitcher, subscribe, leave ratings, tell your friends if you like it. The YouTube video is going to go up. Share that as well. And we will play our little Lombardi music outro now.
Like and subscribe, bitches.